day of disaster continues now. Here's Byron Crawford.
The first real indication of the scope of tornado damage in Louisville came at 5:12 with this graphic report from Dick Gilbert.
I want to summarize what I can see from up here. Apparently, as far as I could tell, the first touchdown was just north of Stanford Field at the Twilight Drive-In, and it started with the trailers. It moved across the fairgrounds. It flattened the horse barns. It went through the little community just north of Audubon Park, and then it went through the cemetery at Newburgh and Eastern Parkway, uprooting giant trees there. Newburgh is blocked completely by these trees, and houses are torn up by the trees falling into them. Then it came across Eastern Parkway and Bardstown Road. It went roaring through the Seneca Cherokee Park area, absolutely denuding a portion of that park. There's no trees left. There's nothing but splintered stumps in there for, I can't estimate how many acres are involved. Then it came right between Barrett Junior High School on Grinstead Drive and the Baptist Theological Seminary. It crossed Grinstead Drive right there, leaving this wide swath of total destruction. It came over Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, let's come on up. Stilts and Frankfort, Pennsylvania, Hillcrest, right there at the Frankfort Avenue intersection. It's completely wiped out. Every house is damaged to some extent. Then it came across the Crescent Hill Golf Club, and I'm over Indian Hills right now, and I can't even begin to count. I would guess 200 homes out here have at least the second floor gone. Many of them are completely demolished, and most of them are, the walls are askew, the roof is sagging, and so forth. Trees have been chopped down all the way. Now I'm curving around and following the path of it. It seems to have turned a little bit then toward the east, and this is over the Zachary Taylor area, just north of Zachary Taylor Monument. It cut a swath through this area, again, taking the roof and, in many cases, the second floor off the houses in this area. And then it crossed the Waterson near I-71. By the way, folks, traffic obviously is at a complete standstill in all of these areas that I've talked about. Trees, emergency equipment, everything. It just is not moving at all. Looking ahead here, I-71 is at a standstill. The Waterson is at a standstill here at the intersection. And just beyond this point, I believe, I'm not sure because I'm still a mile away, but I think this is about the tail end of the worst damage here. This seems to be about where it started lifting and dissipating. So that's the path from Stanford Field up through Crescent Hill and out here into the Waterson and I-71 area. And I have seen some pretty bad stuff in my career in Iowa and Indiana, those areas. I don't believe I've seen anything to equal this.
The tornado warning is in effect until 6:30 for persons in Nelson, Anderson, Woodford, Franklin, Scott, Fayette, and Jessamine counties in Kentucky. At 5:16, as Louisville and southern Indiana began to survey tornado damage, more tornado warnings were coming
in the direction of Frankfort.
A tornado warning is in effect still for... While that new tornado warning was being repeated at 5:25, News Director Glenn Baston made contact with Governor Ford.
Glenn?
Yes, Governor. We're on the air live, sir.
Okay. It's pretty rough all over, and Louisville, of course, has been hit pretty hard. Judge Hollenbach has asked for the National Guardsmen, and so has Mel Gentry, who is the acting mayor there. And we've already dispatched National Guardsmen to the fairgrounds, which has a unit of armory there. And the National Guardsmen out of St. Matthews have been called up. And we're sending units to Brandenburg, for instance, and up to Bedford and those and Irvington area. So we're trying to prevent looting and that sort of thing if it should occur. I understand the weather's beginning to moderate some in Laurel. And hopefully we can get in there as fast as we can and assist those people in the best way we can. Our latest information is that all roads practically in and out of Louisville are clogged. and we just need the cooperation of the people there now to be calm and not get irritated. And there goes my phone again. And we'll just do the best we can in the bad situation.
Governor, I thank you. I know that phone's going to be ringing considerably. Again, thank you, and I won't take up any more of your time.
Glenn, we'll be glad to cooperate with you in any way. The helicopter report's been just wonderful. And we want to compliment everybody in Louisville for cooperating. We already have a command post up, I guess Tommy told you, at the fairgrounds. And we're doing everything we can. And under the circumstances, it seems like it's so little, but everything we have is at the people's disposal.
We have a little later update on that storm that was over Lebanon Junction earlier. Right now, radar shows that near Grafenberg, heading right for Frankfort. And that was the big one down around Lebanon Junction about a half an hour ago. And right now, it's 5:30. It's radar Grafenberg, heading for Frankfort.
While concern mounted about other tornadoes present in Kentucky, information and official reaction regarding tornado damage began to pour in.
Hey, we have an important message here for all members of the Kentucky State Police who live in the Louisville area. They are to call the Elizabethtown Post immediately. All state police who live in the Louisville area are to report to, or to call at least, and get in touch with the post at Elizabethtown. They need additional help there.
Madison Chief of Police, Madison, Indiana Chief of Police, has asked Governor Otis Bowen to mobilize the Indiana National Guard. That request came as tornadoes bounced across Indiana, causing at least 11 deaths and uncounted injuries.
I'm with Walter Frederick, who is town marshal of the town of Palmyra. And, Mr. Frederick, what is the extent of damage that you've noticed so far?
Well, the extent that we see from here and around that I have seen already is a strip here that's about a mile and a half wide, and no telling how long as of yet, but it's almost totally demolished.
What is the situation from your office, Judge Hollenbeck?
Glenn, the worst problem of the storm is concentrated in the eastern part of the county. We've called out the entire 24-hour patrol.
It's now 9 minutes before 6, and the effects of this storm we're still tabulating here at WHAS. We have been told that there was some problem at the water company's main pumping station in Crescent Hill. Now, on the line with us at the moment is the water company's chief engineer, Frank Campbell. Frank, would you update us, please?
All right. I'm at the Crescent Hill pumping station. We had a direct hit from the tornado. All power is out. We have not assessed the full range of damage. We presume that when we get power again, that we will be able to pump water. However, the present situation looks very dark. We do have water stored in our reservoir. Normally, it is an 8-hour supply. We've asked for an all-points bulletin for all unnecessary uses of water to be stopped, and through this manner, we hope to stretch this supply. Now, in addition to this, we are investigating the eastern county area where water is supplied by booster pressure, and we do not know what the situation there is, but supplies there will be even more limited than for the city of Louisville.
Are all of your areas in the city affected, Frank?
Well, all our telephone communications are out to our instruments, and so we don't know what the levels are.
We're well aware of extensive damage in Louisville and Jefferson County, and news people and authorities are out in force now trying to find out where the hardest hit areas were, and there will be help there sometime within the next few hours, we can assume. This is WHAS News. The time is 2 minutes past 6.
We might point out to those of you who probably are tuning in, or some of you are tuning in to hear the world tonight, we are going to preempt that broadcast because of the weather situation in Kentuckiana so that we can continue to update that information. The situation is this, Alderman Gentry. This is Glenn Baston at WHAS Radio, and we are on the air live, sir. Could I put you on the air and ask you from your command post what the situation looks like?
I'll be glad to.
All right, you, I understand, talked with Governor Ford a little bit earlier and did ask for some guard assistance within the city. Is that correct?
That is right.
Where are the hardest hit areas from your command post?
Around the fairground and is the worst, I believe.
Where are you asking that the guard be directed to?
They were directed to go straight to the fairground.
Okay. Do you have you placed a request for where they might be dispatched after they are assembled at the fairgrounds?
No, we dispatch them to the most places they are needed when they get there.
Do you have any indication, sir, of injuries and things of that nature?
Well, about 100 so far, as I've got a check on.
Within the city limits?
Within the city limits, yeah.
John Burke is getting a briefing from his people right at the moment. He is on the line, and as soon as he gets the latest from all of the meteorologists that he has on duty out at the National Weather Service, we will get the latest from him. I might point out something that is unexplained to us at the moment. We don't really know what it is, but we have had here in the studio, they have had in the newsroom, and they have had at our switchboard here, WHAS, numerous reports of a tremor in the south end. Now, what this is, whether or not it is some side effect of the winds or something of that nature, we don't know. It is, quite honestly, at this moment, unexplained. But we are getting reports from the south end, the southern sections of Jefferson County, that they have had some sort of tremor. And for those of you who are located out there, as soon as we can track this down and get some explanation for it, we will give you that information. Well, something that we wish we did not have to report to you. Bob Johnson has just told us that there are at least 7 known dead in Kentucky as a result of the tornadoes, including 1 in Jefferson County. The death in Jefferson County reported from the city civil defense headquarters. We have no other details on that. The state police say that there are 2 known dead at Elizabethtown, 3 near Irvington and Meade County, another near Samuels and Nelson County. In addition, a spot check of hospitals in Louisville and Jefferson County tell of at least 50 people injured. And, of course, we had the acting mayor on the air just a little while ago saying that there may be as many as 100 people injured. Well, John Burke has joined us again. John, what's it look like now?
Well, Glenn, right now, radar is showing a well-developed storm down around Danville. Probably not as bad as the one that went through here. Nevertheless, it is a sizable storm, a dangerous storm. It's moving east-northeast to between 50 and 60 miles an hour. That would take it to somewhere around the Richmond area, on over into the Madison County, Clark County, on over that area, the Richmond, Kentucky area. And the other one apparently moved near Frankfort. Whether or not it went across the city, we cannot say. It is east of Frankfort now, 10 miles or so east of Frankfort, heading in the direction of Georgetown, Paris, in that direction, but certainly I'm not trying to indicate it's going to strike those towns, but in that general direction, so persons in those areas, that's east of Frankfort, or in the Georgetown, Paris areas, on up into, that would be in Bourbon County, and on up into Harrison and Nicholas and Bass County. They're moving so rapidly, 50 or 60 miles an hour.
Fred Welch is on the line for me from Frankfort. And, Fred, I understand that you saw the storm when it passed through the Frankfort area, and perhaps you can fill us in on what you saw there.
Well, I'll tell you, the way I saw it, of course, I saw it on the radar on television, and so I went up in the second story, and there's a door opens up, and so I'm looking out the door and spotting it, and as soon as I spotted over to, I believe it's to the southwest a bit, I saw the turbulence, and I saw it snaking around there, and, it passed, I judge, around the interstate on the Kentucky River and came right along there and clipped, came through, let's say, southeast Frankfort in the vicinity of the interstate intersection with U.S. 60, more or less between 421 and 60, what's the locality is known as Jet.
So was there much damage in that area, Fred?
Yes, sir. That's where the Ramada Inn is, and the industrial park. It half demolished the Taylor Tot factory. All telephone poles are down. Trees are uprooted. There's a church, a Christian church out there. This roof is off. Of course, we couldn't go very far because of the traffic was tied up with the telephone poles and the trees and everything. But the way it looks, it took everything between... Well, let's say between U.S. 421, which is a road to Lexington, and the interstate intersection.
Okay, thank you very much, Fred Welch. Okay. Here's Glenn Baston.
Right on.
Chuck, I hate to interrupt you, but we have been requested to ask all firemen and policemen in the Frankfort area to report to work. The Civil Defense Headquarters in Frankfort tells us that they need ambulances in the Frankfort area badly. This is all firemen and policemen in the Frankfort area. Please report to work. They also need ambulances badly, we are told by Civil Defense Headquarters in Frankfort. Now, we were told by the acting mayor, Alderman Gentry, just a few minutes ago on another line that they are having a considerable amount of trouble with people attempting to sightsee. Please do not go out onto the streets of Louisville. They need all the room that they can to move these emergency vehicles around and to get in and out. Bud, I've got the live microphone. Bud Harbsmeyer just walked in again.
We've been requested by police in West Point, Kentucky, to ask sightseers to stay off the roads leading to Brandenburg, Kentucky. Brandenburg, Kentucky was hit by a tornado also, apparently quite a bit of damage there. Kentucky Road 1638 has been closed to all but emergency equipment. And once again, the police at West Point are turning back all sightseers.
Glenn Baston.
Well, I have on the line right now, Byron, St. Louis University, the Department of Geology. When I ask, when I merely introduce myself, you asked, did I feel the earthquake? What have we had?
You've had an earthquake of approximately magnitude 4.5 on the Richter scale. Our recordings of it so far indicate it occurred about 130 miles to the east of St. Louis, which would put it in southern Illinois, most likely. This is the largest earthquake in this area since the 1968 earthquake, November 9th, and we've had felt reports from the St. Louis area, Springfield, Illinois, and now Louisville, Kentucky also.
We have just gone through a tremendous afternoon here of severe weather. We have a considerable amount of damage. There could be no relation in these two, I'm sure. Would that be a correct assumption?
There would be no relation whatsoever to this.
It's just a little after 7. It's 1 after 7 on WHAS Louisville. Give Byron a chance to get something cold down his throat. It was very, very strange sitting here this afternoon, reading all of the reports, not really knowing what was going on, and then just like a shock, that first report from traffic tracker Dick Gilbert about what he saw. And having had a large, vast experience in covering things like this all over the country, Dick said that this was one of the worst he had ever seen. And the way he actually traced the tornado that went through Jefferson County and each stop along the way.
Jeff, the help Dick has given us in the past few days has been immeasurable, because from that vantage point, 700 or 800 feet in the air in the helicopter, he can be a great assistance not only to us but to authorities who want to know what's happening with the tornadoes. Of course, he flew over Campbellsburg the other day and gave us a fine report on conditions up there, tracing the path of that tornado. This afternoon, he was actually up while the tornado was cutting that swath through Louisville and Jefferson County. And many thanks go to Dick Gilbert. He'll be up again in the morning. Glenn Baston, do you have something?
Apparently, a lot of people are going out sightseeing. Folks, don't do this. Stay at home. Give the emergency vehicles the opportunity to get through. Monica, the water situation, have you had any information in Civil Defense Headquarters on that?
Well, the only thing that's being said right now is it's okay for now, but for people not to get in scared and fill up their bathtubs or their sinks thinking they're going to run out of water. They are concerned about it, but at the moment, they think they can handle it. The thing they're talking about most right now is the need for volunteers, particularly registered nurses. They're looking for people with heavy equipment. They're asking people in the construction industry to show up at Chenoweth and 42, where it seems to be hardest hit. They've also offered to open up some centers for people who need help. There are three at Barrett Junior High School. It'll open at 7:15, Wagner High School at 7:30, and Ballard High School. That's for shelter and food.
Go through those again, if you will.
Okay, that's Barrett Junior High School, Wagner High School, and Ballard. Judge Hollenbeck, by the way, has been in touch in Washington with Senator Huddleston's office and Senator Cook. In both instances, he said they wanted to know what they could do, but they are at the moment looking at ways possibly of getting a house and urban development loans to help those businesses that might have been damaged and those homes that might have been wrecked.
Okay, Monica. A quick repeat. They're having problems with water, with people on the streets, and that there are three various areas there that they can go to. Barrett, hi.
I hate to interrupt, but I've just got a tap on the shoulder. It seems that we can't get the three schools open that they've had designated as centers. They can't get in touch with Superintendents Van Hoosen Walker, so if they're out there, tell them to please call Civil Defense so they can get the schools open.
Do they have any advice what the people should do in the meantime while they're trying to get these open?
Well, no one said.
Monica Kaufman, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll be back to you, I guess, as the evening progresses.
Okay, Glenn.
May we repeat to the school superintendents, Mr. Van Hoos and Mr. Walker, or anyone who might have the capability of opening these three schools, Barrett, Wagner, and Ballard, they would like to use these as centers for the people who are now homeless because of this afternoon storm, but they're having some difficulty getting into them. So those people in Barrett, Wagner, and Ballard, anyone who might be able to provide access, please do so.
We might mention now that we're on our nighttime coverage, which covers 44 states, some people are probably waiting to hear the basketball game tonight.
Right.
And instead they're hearing us and wondering why. Kentucky Colonels game, the playoff game, has been postponed at this point indefinitely, is what I understand, because of damage at Freedom Hall. Large pieces of the roof at Freedom Hall ripped off, fell into the floor, the playing floor. It'll be some time before they can repair that or find somewhere else to play the playoff game. And at this point, as Van Vance reports from Sports 84, who knows when the game might be played.
Chuck, we didn't even get to the news this afternoon, what we normally call the news, and we had a good day here. I was in the process of preparing a newscast, and so were you when the storm suddenly hit. Glenn Baston has Louisville Gas and Electric on the line.
Curtis Craig, Kurt, I'm sure you have fantastic problems with the electricity, but I think the thing that is probably of more concern to all of us than anything else is what is going on at the water company. Could you brief us on that?
Yes, the reason they don't have water is because they don't have electricity. The tornado took down a 69 kV line into the water company. Trees on top of all of this. It isn't going to be easy, but they are giving this the top priority. This is the number one project that we have right now. Incidentally, we have about 700 people on a job right now, and it'll go on for, it looks like, several days.
Well, what kind of time frame could you put on it, Curtis, as far as getting this thing back in operation? Could you do
you
that?
You mean the water company?
Yes.
We don't have a reading. We don't have know enough about it yet to give a timetable on the water company, but I will have to check back with you. But we're making every effort. We know that it's most important, and it's taking. We're giving it top priority.
All right. Now, give us some sort of idea of just what is affected electrically wise, and have we had any problems with gas service?
There were reports of gas service leaks in Brandenburg, and it's my understanding we've cut off the gas to the town of Brandenburg.
Glenn, do you have something new?
Well, I have a report on what has been happening over in Frankfort from a listener, Don Van. Don, our indications earlier was that Frankfort has indeed been hard hit in some sections and that they needed all the assistance they could get. What is your view?
Yes, sir. The eastern portion of the city has been basically flat. That's in the Jet area. We lost service stations, several trailers overturned. There's roughly 17 people injured at this time. They're trying to dig out from under the debris. They have the area cordoned off, of course, so no one can get in. We were coming through. And they stated that they didn't know how many injuries they would have, but we have help from Shelbyville, Shelby County, Franklin County, Woodford, and a couple other areas, and with ambulances, and it's a steady stream to the hospital.
Okay. Don, thank you for the call from Frankfort.
Yes, sir.
That's what the situation's like in Frankfort, fellas. We're now at about 23 minutes before 8 o'clock. I am told that all members of headquarters and headquarters battalion of the strike over on the typewriter. The 5th Target Acquisition Division should report immediately to the armory at Mutual. This from the Adjutant General in Frankfurt. Please do so immediately.
Okay, Glenn, Byron Crawford is here, and he was going to talk a little bit more about the curfew. But in all of this, talking about the curfew and the severe weather which is coming in, we did have the story a few minutes ago, and from our understanding, it is accurate. At least 3 dead so far in the Louisville area, 14 dead across the state of Kentucky from tornadoes this afternoon so far. 2 of the dead were taken to General Hospital. 1 of the deaths reported in the St. Matthews area. Byron?
Chuck, I have some terribly grim news. And we always hesitate to put these figures on the air. But I've been in touch with authorities who are probably as close to the Brandenburg situation as you can be without actually being in the town of Brandenburg. And although the authorities caution me that they have not yet confirmed the figure, the unconfirmed figure of dead in Brandenburg is 22 persons.
Glenn Baston, you have some more information.
Well, I have Civil Defense Headquarters in Frankfurt on the line now. Mr. Arnett, you tell me that you can indeed confirm that tragedy in the Brandenburg area.
Yes, the tornado pretty much hit Brandenburg full scale. We have a confirmed 23 casualties at Brandenburg.
What time? Do you have any idea what time this all happened? Was this prior to Louisville? Or?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say it again.
I'm just trying to get some idea of what actually happened down there. It was a tornado. What did it sweep through a residential section, or do you have that information?
And okay, they were right in the path of the tornado, and it walked right through town and just went on out the other side. It happened to hit the residential and business district, which, of course, netted all the casualties.
Was this late afternoon that this occurred?
I'm trying to look here at a report when it hit. I've got a number here about 4:10.
Glenn, you please pick this up. This is a reporter from the Meade County Messenger in Brandenburg, and would like to fill us in on what has happened.
Hello.
Yes.
This is WHAS?
Yes, this is Jane Willis with the Meade County Messenger in Brandenburg.
Yes,
and I wondered,
Jane,
if you all wanted any information.
Please,
about
we are on the air live now. Please give us all you have.
Okay, it happened at 4:10. That is the time our clock stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The downtown section where we live and work is in pretty much demolished. 3 people were taken out dead,
mm-hmm,
from the downtown area. There were a large number that were injured, whether seriously or not. You know, we heard these reports of people being taken out on doors. It was true. That's what we had to carry them out on.
Uh-huh.
The 24 figure that has been given by the state policemen, they have set up a morgue at the high school. One that we know was dead was Robert Dressel, who was a councilman at Muldrow, a city councilman. And he was killed in the downtown area. And he has been identified.
Mm-hmm.
There is at least one missing that we know of, that we know missing. It's just terrible.
Jane, our reports from Civil Defense Headquarters used a figure, I think, 23. You are saying 24 plus one missing. Is that correct?
The state patrolman told me 24. And one of my friends said, we can't find this friend's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the physical property of the town? What happened to that? What has it done to Brandenburg?
Well, it's in a shambles, an absolute shambles.
Glenn, we have an emergency call here from Frankfurt. Those people in Frankfurt were, of course, hard hit today, and they need drug supplies very badly, apparently, drug supplies of all types.
It's 10 minutes of 10. From WHAS Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky. We did have a bit of an earthquake in the Ohio Valley this afternoon. It was centered in southern Illinois. They also tell us that it was one of the larger earthquakes that we've had in some time. Milt, how about coming over here? I think I might solve our problem somewhat. You have been outside. I saw you walking in the front door. Have you seen any of the areas in town that have been hit?
No, I have just seen some extraordinary film footage that our photographers and reporters have done. And I have talked to as far away as Bloomington, where they've had some earth tremors there, but I've not seen it in person. Hello, this is Metz. Come in, please.
Yes.
You're on.
Mr. Metz?
You're right, sir.
Mr. Metz?
Yes.
Sir, my name is Leon Allman, and I live here in Louisville, right in Shively, and I've been hearing quite a bit about the devastation down in the Brandenburg area. And I know that a lot of people are like myself. There are a lot of small communities around Brandenburg, and no one is able to get a telephone call into these areas. As an example, Painesville, Webster, Midway, little towns around Brandenburg that many of us in Louisville have relatives in those little towns around in that same county, and haven't heard any reports of at all. So if there's anyone that knows anything about what's happening, as an example, in Painesville, in Meade County, and Webster, Meade County, if they might would call in and let us know how those little towns are faring. Now, they're real close to Brandenburg, but we haven't heard anything. And we can't get any telephone calls down there, and they can't call us either. So, and I know I speak for quite a few people who in this area who do have friends and relatives in the little communities around Brandenburg. If some of them would call in, I think they'd be doing a service to your listeners.
Yes, and you have done a service to us, sir, by noting that, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Now, it's possible that someone may have been in that area if phone service is out, and when they get out of the area, would be good enough to call us here at 585-2385 with news of those small communities. Thank you very much,
thank
sir.
Thank you, sir.
Good night. This is Metz.
My name is Charlie Pickerel. I work at the Ford truck plant in the pre-delivery building. Along about 12 minutes to 5, a fellow from Dealers Transport asked me to come out and look and see what was going on in the sky. And I went out and looked towards the southwest. And here was this tornado coming down. And just as it touched down, you could see just sparks and everything coming far, and just explosions. I imagine it was a Crescent Hill Reservoir. And we watched this tornado for, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 minutes as it traveled up 42, just completely just tearing up everything. You could see roofs flying in the air and debris, and it would raise up from time to time, and in a period of 3 or 4 minutes, it just completely just disappeared.
A sensational, disturbing sight.
I never saw anything like it before in my life, and I hope I never see it again.
Right, sir. Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Here's a note from WHAS News. Hanover College in Indiana suffered a direct tornado hit in the storms that hit Kentuckiana. Most of the trees on campus were destroyed, as well as 2 sorority houses. There are no reports of injuries. I repeat, no reports of injuries. School officials at Hanover say all the students are safe and all have shelter. No need for parents to worry. 585-2385, Milton Metz here. Hello.
Mr. Metz?
Right.
This is Lieutenant Dixon, the Army Ammunition Plant in Charlestown.
Lieutenant who?
Dixon.
Welcome, sir.
We have several hundred people here that lives in the Louisville area, and they are wondering how they're going to get home, if possible. Have you received any word on if they will be allowed to travel the streets?
Well, let me put it this way, Lieutenant. There is a voluntary curfew over all Jefferson County till 6 a.m., but there is a mandatory curfew for a portion of eastern Jefferson County. And I understand that this is ironbound, that even if one lives in that area, that one is not allowed to go in there. So it depends on where they live. My other information, and I have Byron Crawford here from WHS News, is that people are free to go outside of the mandatory curfew area. Is that right, Byron?
Milton, I have been led to believe from one of the police officials in the last hour or so that an absolute curfew has now been put on Jefferson County, the entire county.
I beg your pardon. This is the operator. It's 585-2385 on here.
That is right.
Can you give me another number to reach Milton Metz? We have an emergency from the governor's office.
This is Milton Metz, and you're speaking to him. Come in, please.
Hello, Milton.
You Tom?
Oh, it's Wendell.
Yes, how are you, Governor?
I'm doing fair under the conditions, Milt. We thought you've been having some questions about Frankfort, and I try to bring you up to date on what we have here. The county judge and the mayor have asked for a curfew until 6 a.m. in the morning. We've had four reported deaths in this area. The King's Daughters Hospital had to give first aid and send casualties on over to the University Medical Center. And by the way, Milt, the University Medical Center had 10 medical teams available. The time we made the call at the center over there to give assistance to the hospital over here, they were here in 25 minutes with police escort. Probably the most tragic day in history, Kentucky, Milt. It's just bad all over, and we're just doing everything we can do. The federal disaster people will be on the ground at 6:30 in the morning. I've already talked with Mr. Cradle, who will be the coordinator for the federal people. Elmer Beckett, our civil defense man, will be the coordinator in Kentucky for our for the state. I've been in contact with Fort Knox and Fort Campbell, and they've been authorized to move in any direction that they have equipment and men available to assist in any of the areas that have damage. Stamping ground was the latest problem about an hour ago, I guess, maybe a little more if you haven't had that one.
No.
That little community was just flattened.
No, we have not had that, Governor.
Yes. I have an update on the fatalities, which is a total of 66 confirmed in the state so far.
Eventually, the Kentucky fatality list would total nearly 80, nearly 50 in Indiana. 2,000 homes in Kentucky left uninhabitable. Damage in both Kentucky and Indiana would amount to better than $100 million. It would be days before the WHAS programming schedule would be back to normal, decades before evidence of the tornadoes could be erased. A national weather scientist the next week termed the April 3rd tornadoes the worst in the nation's history, saying that without the efficient warning systems and public awareness of safety precautions, the death toll in the South and Midwest would most certainly have been in four figures.
Day of Disaster. WHAS Radio News Special, a sequential review of the April 3rd tornado destruction in Kentucky and southern Indiana.